Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Hey guys, Chris here, and welcome back to Chris Talks Games. As always, I'm Chris, and I'm going to talk about games today. After the last episode's a bit dark, bit deeper kind of insight with the Activision Blizzard stuff, hopefully a bit more fun today. A bit more fun for you guys, and now start off with some news. Okay, first up, Gamescom is happening this week, so obviously it's Jeff Keighley's kind of European game event, so there are a lot of announcements happening. The main thing to come out of it so far is, or one of the main things, is Halo Infinite now does have a release date. Halo Infinite will release on the 8th of December. This is the campaign and the multiplayer, so it means all in all it will have been delayed for more than a year. And people are still saying it potentially should have been delayed even further because there are a couple of popular modes that aren't going to be in there at launch. It has been confirmed that the campaign co-op and the Forge mode will be coming in 2022. And in announcing that, they kind of announced that there will be kind of seasons to Halo Infinite. I think what's coming out on the 8th of December has been termed Season 1, with the campaign co-op and the Forge mode being added in future seasons in 2022. So a lot of people are saying it's disappointing to see that things that are the kind of Halo mainstays and normally expected in Halo games aren't going to be out at launch. So yeah, it's brought a few people out the interesting way, but it'll be interesting to see how it plays at launch. They've shown off a lot of multiplayer stuff, and they've had the betas and stuff like that, or like the flights that they've been doing with selected or invited participants. But they haven't shown much more campaign stuff off since the trailer last summer, which kind of set everything off and sparked the delay. So it'll be interesting to see how the campaign's looking and whether it's just because they don't want to leak stuff, they're not showing stuff, or whether they are still kind of doing work on it. And that'll be interesting to see as well. But those looking forward to Halo Infinite. That is due out on the 8th of December. More news out of Gamescom is we do have some more release dates. And alongside that, there is announcements of delays. There's three games in particular that have officially slipped to 2022 now. First is Horizon Forbidden West. It had been long speculated and kind of had been pretty much confirmed that it had slipped to early 2022. It now does have a release date, and it is the 18th of February 2022. So that's definitely not making out for this holiday now, which is probably a bit of a blow for Sony. Okay, they're selling PlayStation 5s like crazy anyway, but their holiday lineup has definitely taken a bit of a loss with losing that to next year. Two other games that have officially slipped out of 2021, which were expected this year, are the indie title that everyone's looking forward to, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. A lot of people think it's very reminiscent of some of the classic Turtles games, which everyone loved and were really popular. But that has officially slipped to early next year. They did show off April O'Neil footage at Gamescom. A lot of people are hoping that means that other characters like Casey might be able to make it in. To be some more characters as well as the four turtles. And another game that has slipped again, even though it's due out late 2020 originally, is Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga. That was a big reinvention and involved in like evolution of the Lego Star Wars games, but it has officially slipped to spring 2022. No set release date yet. So yeah, that's still to come. There have been reports that Travis Towers have had some issues with staff leaving, and of course the COVID, meaning working from home, has been quite challenging for them, so that has impacted the game's development. And like, there have been some reports that the turnover has been quite high in terms of people leaving, so obviously new people coming in and taking over roles in the project. Not necessarily sure what I mean, change the game, but obviously getting used to how the game's working and getting up to speed with the development obviously would have slowed down their development time. So yeah, even though it's due late 2020 and then pushed to 2021, it now has slipped to 2022, which hopefully means it's a good game. Totally looks good from the trailer. It is good to see that they are doing something new with the LEGO games. They have been very samey, so looking forward to seeing what they do with that. Another bit of news from GameCon is there is a new Marvel game that's been announced. I think Taito is rumoured to be working on like an XCOM style Marvel game. It has officially been announced as Marvel Midnight Sun. Yeah, it's like an XCOM style Marvel game, and there's not much to know about it. There's been a trailer shown off. It's coming to all major consoles, including Switch, which is good. And a lot of the big heroes like Wolverine, Doctor Strange, Iron Man are all meant to be in it, according to the trailer shown. There's a lot of speculation that you will be creating your own character, so you'll be spending, or there'll be a new character that comes in, and you'll be using that character rather than an established hero. So that'll be interesting to see how that works with a new character effectively being used to play the to play the game as. And then last bit of news I've got is kind of like a bit of a continuation from last week's episode. Call of Duty Vanguard has officially been unveiled. They did do the trailers and everything like that. They did do like a demo or a beta that people could play. And one thing that people are realising is Activision have actually removed their logo from like the beta and the demo and some of the publicity information and the promo shots. Sledgehammer Games, which is the developers, are kind of front and centre when the logos come up. I think by the looks of it, with all the stuff going on with the lawsuit and the reputation it's kind of given them, and like the bad press, I think Activision are kind of trying to distance themselves from the Call of Duty franchise this year. That is an interesting look, an interesting thought. Because I know a lot of journalists were thinking, how do they cover Call of Duty this year? Do they kind of give a wide berth, not really focus on it, because it's Activision and the stuff going on with the lawsuit, particularly in the Blizzard side of Activision Blizzard? Or do they kind of respect the developers and cover it, even though there's a controversy around the Activision Blizzard name? I know a lot of reporters and that were unsure how to handle it. This is where the Activision are trying to make it easier by not plastering their logo all over it. And I think also just in terms of consensus from the public, like if people see the Activision logo, I've heard about Activision, and then kind of look it up and then kind of decide they don't want the game. If they don't see the Activision logo, then it might not affect so much in the mainstream. It's mainly more people who kind of follow the gaming news and follow game companies that will know the ins and outs of this. But I do expect Call of Duty still to be very popular, do very well. It's pretty much globally one of the best-selling franchises each year, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Call of Duty selling well again this year. Despite everything that's going on within Activision Blizzard, I think the sales will still be there. You can see stuff like Pokemon Sword and Shield, everyone said they were going to boycott it because they didn't like the fact there wasn't the full Pokedex, and they hadn't done the full National Dex. So they had just chosen some Pokemon to come back rather than every single Pokemon. So, yeah, I can understand. And so, yeah, that was a big protest. Like, yeah, we won't buy it. We will boycott it. But it still outsold many iterations of Pokemon. Still sold about 12 million copies. So still among the Switch's best-selling games. Well over 10 million copies sold worldwide. So, yeah, I don't think people saying they're going to boycott games works, really. Some people don't buy it, but a lot of people still do, especially the mainstream people and diehard fans who want to get and get involved. But yeah, that kind of wraps up the news section, and now we're going to head on to our main part of the show. Okay, guys, so on to the main part of today's show. I have a very special guest. Anyone who listens to the Visuals Global Media will know him, and obviously he's one of the Game Junkies podcast, so please welcome Matt onto my show for this week.
Hello.
Yep, so Matt's joining me for a bit more fun, because obviously beginning of each year we do our 10 games we're looking forward to for the year. It's getting towards the end of the year now. I've got the last few months of the year to go. And obviously it's a big holiday season, so a lot of big holiday games. And as always, games get announced during the year that we don't know about at the beginning of the year, so it would be a good chance to update our 10 most anticipated games for the rest of 2021. So we've each got 10 games that we're looking forward to for the rest of this year. And we're going to talk through why we're looking forward to those games in particular. So we're going to start with our 10th most anticipated game and work our way up to our most anticipated game. And as a guest, I will let Matt go first.
Okay, thank you, Chris. This is a game... One, I'm putting at number 10. I'm going in, like, least to most. It's a game which, if you'd have asked me a year ago, I'd have told you no chance. In fact, if you'd have asked me this one back when you came on Game Junkies at the start of the year, actually, to give us the number to top 10, I would have said, again, no chance. But this has been a year where I have had my mind opened to the joys of farming. Farming Simulator 22 comes out on the 22nd of November. It's going to be on all platforms apart from PC for some bizarre reason. I'm going to say it because of a certain Amazon Prime show called Clarkson's Farm, I developed an interest in giving it a go on Game Pass. And I could admit I thoroughly enjoyed it. There's a few times that I would rather play that than that shower site you call Pokemon Unite. And this is my personal opinion.
Says the man who hasn't played it at all.
It's my personal opinion, I'm leaving it at that. But it's a very enjoyable thing. It's quite chill, it's quite therapeutic. And I'm not saying I'm going to buy it when it first comes out, but it's a game I'm looking forward to, for sure. So if it's in the Black Friday sale, I'm just for sure. It's out in November, so I'm very much looking forward to getting my hands on it. And buying a tractor, which is too big for my field, probably as usual, and also having to rent a combine because you can't afford $250,000 to buy one. I've done my research. But yeah, Farming Simulator has definitely spiked in interest, not just from me, but in general, I think, because of, well, a well-known figure promoting it through a new TV show.
But to be fair, I think Farming Simulator has been quite a surprise hit for a few years. It's been going for quite a few years.
It has. Hence the fact that it's, you know, I remember the year that GTA 5 first came out in 2013, number two on the list was Farming Simulator, which I believe TV comedians took the mickey out of. Like, why are people playing this? Therapeutic. It's therapeutic. The one good thing is you haven't got to get up at crack of dawn to go and plough the field. So yeah, my first pick is Farming Simulator 2022, Chris.
Fair enough. My number 10 game is... from a series I don't really know much about, to be really honest. But it is actually Shin Megami Tensei V. Developed by Atlus. And Shin Megami Tensei is actually kind of the parent, or like the series that inspired Persona. The Persona series is a spin-off from the Shin Megami series, so... obviously, I've been really enjoying Persona 5. I haven't played it anywhere near enough. But Shin Megami just looks really interesting. Obviously, first got announced way back in 2017 at the Switch Unveiling kind of showcase, where they announced lots of games for the Switch. It's finally coming out this November. It's out on the 12th of November, and it is exclusive to Switch. And yeah, it just looks really interesting. Nice concept. So you play as a school kid in Tokyo, and you get transported to post-apocalyptic Tokyo that's infested by angels and demons. And yeah, through a few chance events and fusing with another person, you end up in a position to fight these demons. Obviously, coming from playing Persona 5 before a Shin Megami game, there's a lot of elements I recognise. Be great to get involved and see the series that actually inspired the Persona series. I think the Persona might be a bit more kind of wacky, a bit more crazy, whereas Shin Megami looks like it could potentially be a bit more traditional RPG kind of thing. But yeah, I'm really, really excited to see how the game takes out. The reason that number 10 on my list is because it's a franchise I don't really know. Like, brutally honest, I've not pre-ordered it yet. I might, if it's on sale, pick it up. But at the moment, it's not my kind of... among my must-get games at the moment. So, but it is one that I'm certainly looking forward to seeing how it shapes up and seeing, seeing more about the game, really. So that's my number 10 choice. So on to your number 9, Matt.
My number 9, I'm channeling my inner EJX Rezzed here. I've seen some amazing games firsthand in the past and in the Rezzed section, those sort of games. This is an indie game, also an indie-style game, which is coming out for the Switch this year. Hasn't confirmed what date yet, just says 2021, so I'm taking it as read. It's a game called Card Shark.
Okay.
Card Shark. Description of this, and I thought I'd read this out, because this sounds brilliant. A tale of deception through 18th century Europe, of a comprehensive catalogue of card tricks and other deceptions employed by the Comte de Saint-Germain, as described in Memoir Sans Parole. Real card manipulation techniques and mini games with roguelike progression. Basically, this is a poker game, basically, with an RPG element. This is everything I look for in a video game, and it's something to the Switch. What's to hate about it?
It's not a straight poker game. It's a
no. It's game. Very much a cheating. That very much a cheating game too. But you need to know how to play the game to cheat the game. So I like the idea of this. Very much an 18 and over game. I don't think that anyone under 18 should be playing this. But Card Shark, for me, I think it could be one of those sleeper hits. Which is like, out of nowhere, it probably won't be that expensive on the eShop. It's not listed as for pre-download or anything just yet. I did check. But yeah, this is a game that I want. This is a game that I would be, I'd probably be happy paying money for from the sound of it.
Fair enough.
It looks great. What's your next one, Chris?
My number 9 is taking like a collection or kind of like a re-release. And it's a series that I'm very fond of. Also one that gives kind of flashback nightmares to Matt sometimes. But it is Ori the Collection, which is coming out on Nintendo Switch. For those unsure why it causes flashback nightmares for Matt, is because when I first joined the gaming podcast back in the day for a podcast for the top 10 most anticipated games of the year.
Are you really going there again? You sure?
Matt thought that Ori was a Kami and kind of
I got
compared or read Spyro, and I was like, and then got rid of the part when I said, oh no, it's got like a 2D platformer rather than 3D.
In any case, yes.
But yes, on the Switch, we are getting a combo pack with both games on the 28th of September.
It's a cool book, so, for sure.
Yeah, the physical edition, you get 6 art cards and 2 digital soundtracks as well. The soundtracks are incredible for the Ori games. Incredibly beautiful, really emotional, really kind of epic storytelling. So if you've not played the Ori games, check out the Ori the Collection on Nintendo Switch on the 28th of September. I think it's about £45, I think I've seen.
Quite reasonable.
Yeah, so you get the 2 games and you get like the soundtracks.
The two games, I'll be £50, I'd be happy paying for that. £40, that'd be a good deal.
Yeah, it's a game I'm very much looking forward to. So the games I have really enjoyed, and the fact it's on the Switch and it's portable is great. The only other thing is obviously you can get both games on Game Pass on the Xbox. But if you want it portable and if you don't have an Xbox and want to play it on the Switch, well worth picking up, in my opinion. So that's my number 9 for most anticipated games for the rest of the year. Moving on to our number 8s.
Number 8 for me, the game which is probably on your list, Chris.
Okay.
So I apologise for maybe stealing it a little early. Coming out October 8th on the Switch, it's Tetris Effect.
Fair enough.
Tetris Effect smashed its way onto Game Pass when the SNX came out. And I mean, I enjoy playing it. I know you've got gameplay of up on your channel, and I know you still love playing that game. And why would you not want to play Tetris, more Tetris, as it were, on the Switch? Because you can play like Tetris 99 on the Switch, obviously. But Tetris Effect on the Switch, I mean, what not to love?
It's very much lucky, because I actually haven't got Tetris Effect connected on my list for Switch.
Really?
Yeah, it's not made my top 10, purely because
you wouldn't play it.
It is like a year old port, and I'm content to have it on the Xbox One Game Pass, so I think for me it's not one that I'd look to buy again, or look to buy, really, because obviously you've got Tetris 99 on the Switch. But it is an incredible game. Like, the sound effects, the audio and soundtrack are fantastic. The multiplayer is brilliant. So I concur that Tetris Effect Connected is a brilliant game. Bit of a shame it took so long to come across to the Switch, but well worth checking out if you've not done before. I'll hand it back to Matt so he can carry on talking about his choice.
No, to be fair, Tetris Effect, it does what it says in the tin. I mean, it's Tetris, but with some real cool visuals. Great music, unquestionable, and the multiplayer aspect of it is brilliant. Remind me if I'm wrong, there is crossplay or there isn't?
Yeah, there is crossplay across all consoles.
Then you can't lose with that game, really, can you? Do we know how much it can be charged for it? Or?
No, I've not looked into how much it's going to be on Switch.
Because obviously it's free on Xbox if you go for Game Pass. And yeah. Most people have Game Pass nowadays because it's the cheapest way to get games. So it'd be interesting to see how it comes to Switch, price-wise.
Yeah. I don't think it'd be too expensive because it was part of the Indie World Showcase, so I imagine it'd probably be £20 or less.
Very reasonable. Very reasonable price, for sure.
Definitely worth picking up at that price.
At that price, Tetris, absolutely, go for it. Chris, what's your next one?
My number 8, and the only reason it's this far down is due to like a previous game in the series, but it is Mario Party Superstars for me.
Okay, why is it on this position on your list for
him? The main reason it's down at number 8 is because of Super Mario Party. Super Mario Party is a good game. Like, I do really enjoy it, but I feel like there could have been more. A lot of people were expecting more DLC to be added and stuff like that, especially as it's sold really well. But I think Mario Party Superstars almost feels like an idea they had for DLC, which then kind of grew big enough to be its own game. But basically, it's a remake of classic Mario Party boards from the N64 era, and a selection of mini games from across the series. Mario Party is always great. There's a lot of great features being added to this one. So we have the likes of the full online modes. You can play your games online. You can play against strangers, or you can do a full online Mario Party game with friends. If you do play with friends, you can actually save your progress and then restart the game another time. So if you can't get the party done in one evening, you can save it and then go back to it. Which is a really cool feature, really like that. I think some of the games are showing off are really classic games. I think it's just a bit further down, purely because I'm always worried that it could be kind of like a repeat of Super Mario Party, where it's great, but a bit bare bones around the edge. And also kind of the fact it is just like classics being brought back, as doesn't seem to be any new mini games or new boards, is kind of well, it's great to see things brought back, is whether it's too much of a nostalgia thing.
Well, to be I get that, but the first Mario Party I ever played was the one that we've just had on Switch.
Which is Mario Party.
Not played any other before that. So I think that this has been a good thing for me, because it's been brand new to me.
Yeah, that's cool. Some of the mini games they've got coming, they've shown off, are brilliant ones. So I think you're in for a good time in the mini games.
It's maybe someone who's played them all. May be like same old. Yeah. But they're probably appealing to the new market here, aren't they?
Yeah, but saying that, I've not played all the old Mario Parties. I've played pretty much all the GameCube and most of the Wii ones. And obviously, Super Mario Party, when it came out a couple of years ago. There are some good... it looks good, and I am anticipating. I've got it pre-ordered, so there's definitely one I'm going to be checking out. But in terms of some of the other games due out for the rest of this year, it's not quite top five for me. So, yeah, that is my number 8. So let's move on to your number 7, Mr. Willis.
This one is a lot lower down than it would have than it was earlier in the year. It has dropped. My number 7 is Back for Blood.
Fair enough.
Now, I've been looking forward to this game since 2010. Because obviously this is the spiritual successor to Left 4 Dead. Because basically it's a zombie apocalypse game. Which is exactly what Left 4 Dead was all about. It has a more expanded storyboard accounts. It's been pushed back and pushed back so many times over. I'm wondering, am I going to be disappointed? It was meant to come out last year, then obviously it got pushed back because of COVID. It was meant to come out on June 22nd, and then it was delayed until October 12th. Which obviously is, right now, about a month and 3 weeks away. Which is great, because that will be after I'm back from EGX, and I might get time to play it there, you never know. But it'll be a game that I would be interested in playing, for sure. However, the reason it's dropped on my list is because actually something that actually happened, which was revealed in the early access betas. I told you about this, didn't I, Chris? About somebody found a racial slur being hurled in the game, in the beta, by a character. And I said to you at the time, they're working to remove that as quickly as possible. And I said, and I remember you actually had your mouth half open. You were about to say,
was that why I was in there in the first place?
When I said exactly the same thing, we're like, what the hell were you doing putting that in the game in the first place? I mean, bear in mind what's going on in the world right now. Who thought that would be appropriate? I don't care where it's set, it's not appropriate.
it's kind of harkens back to like my discussion last episode, and kind of like the mindset potentially of developers.
Yeah.
Like, where it's more larking around, having fun. Obviously, hopefully not everywhere to the extent of Activision Blizzard, but...
Exactly.
That kind of mindset and playground kind of antics and kind of... Oh, it's fine in the playground, and kind of realising it doesn't translate into real life. The same.
See, that's the reason why it's dropped for me.
Yeah.
Because... if they haven't bothered to worry about that before putting out to a beta where, let's face it, no offence to parents out there, but kids are going to be convincing their parents to play the betas and things like that. And just hearing that, I wouldn't want my child hearing those sort of things. So yeah, it's dropped down. I still want to play it because it looks like it's going to be a good game. But it's sort of taking interest for me. That's why it's dropped down for me.
Fair enough.
What's your next one?
My number 7, probably a bit surprising because of where it is again. Halo Infinite. Halo Infinite makes number 7 for me. Give me straight up, the Halo series, I like it, but I'm not a massive fan. Like, I haven't played for all the games. I haven't got too stuck into all the campaigns. But I do like the multiplayer. I have got involved with the... with a lot of those things like that. But, yeah, for me, I think Halo Infinite, I think it's more just the struggles I've been through with the game. I'm looking forward to giving it a go. Obviously, it's gone Game Pass. So I will download it. I will play it. But for me, it's just kind of... There's still some elements that seem to be a bit rushed. Like, it has now got released on 8th of December this year, so... is kind of coming close to the end of the year. But at the same time, they have officially confirmed there's going to be modes that are going to be coming after launch in 2022. Most likely to be the campaign co-op, which I know for Matt's probably a bit of a blow, because you and Alex tend to like doing the online co-op stuff.
We do.
So that's going to be part of season 2, apparently. So it's now confirmed there's going to be seasons to the game as well. Obviously... the multiplayer is going to be free to play, and obviously if you've got Game Pass, the campaign is going to be free for you anyway.
I would rather they not release a broken mode.
Yeah.
So if it's that mode not ready, I don't mind them working on that, because let's face it, we all play the campaign mode single player first anyway. Yeah. The multiplayer, the co-op campaign, I'm going to come to later on. So I'm going to stop.
Fair enough. Yep, so yeah, like I say, it's just like, yeah, I'm interested in the game. I'm going to give it a go, but for me, it's just kind of... I'm not a massive Halo fanboy, or not always on the Halo hype train. Kind of like, I enjoy it, but it's not a go-to series for me. So that's why it made number 7 for me, because it's one, I'm interested to see how it's turned out. Interested to give it a go. And Halo is the game that got me into first-person shooters, really. Like, I've not had a... much luck with Call of Duty games or other kind of stuff. So, if I do go for first person stuff, it does tend to be Halo. So yeah, for me, that is kind of why it's sitting at number 7, because I'm interested about it, but obviously it's not one of my go-to franchises or something I'm super excited for at the moment. So, even though I am looking forward to giving it a go. Yeah, so that's my number 7. On to your number 6, Mr. Willis.
My six, it would have been higher. Again, this all sounds really negative. Sure. Would have been higher. Unfortunately, the precedent for a game similar to this had meant it's going in lower. This is the game which, again, it's coming to all formats. It's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Would have been higher, but unfortunately... after what happened with the Avengers game, which, got to admit, got hands on at EGX and was good at EGX, and I've got to admit, I still enjoyed the story. The story was great.
I think the story in the Avengers game is great. Like, campaign mode, I really enjoyed.
The grinding, not so good. And I think that's what a lot of people have a problem with. Guardians of the Galaxy is single player, you only play as Star-Lord. I mean, it's Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, if it's got a cracking soundtrack to go with it, then I think it's a winner. Let's face it, Peter Quill's obsessed with 80s music, and let's face it, 80s music is making a massive comeback, mainly thanks to Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't think they can go wrong with this. And yet, we've seen firsthand how they can go wrong with it for what happened with Avengers.
I think they have that in their mistakes in the Avengers, though, because the thing with Avengers, they want to try and make it live service, which is where it kind of fell apart, where they've steered very clear of that with the Avengers. It's very much story-based, and it's quite tactical as well, because you have to make decisions about what to do with the team and build team relationships. And how good your relationships are with the team depends on whether they do what you ask them to and things like that. So yeah, so there's a lot of different outcomes, a lot of things to kind of look after within the game.
You've got the potential to be the Mass Effect of the Marvel Universe, for sure.
Yeah. I have to confess that Guardians of the Galaxy is kind of like, would have been my number 11. Purely because I've not looked into it, I don't know too much about the game, really. So just like the fact that I don't know much about it.
I'm liking the fact it's coming out October 26th.
Yeah.
All the consoles, including Switch, via cloud.
Yes, it's a cloud game on Switch, which is cool.
Which is good in a way. I know that you prefer having a physical copy for your games, but at the same time, some games are just too big for cartridges.
And there's also the capabilities of the Switch. Mm. Whereas if you can stream it through a decent internet connection. You can get a decent game experience out of it, whereas if they tried to port to the Switch, I don't think what it would run like.
I mean, we've seen with other games that have been ported to the Switch, we've seen like Witcher 3, for example, but at the same time, there was a graphics downgrade. Not a massive one, but a graphics downgrade nonetheless.
You also have to look back at games like Ark, which...
yes, I thought that's true.
I think that said about that, performance-wise, the better, really, so...
Yeah, to say that was a dumpster fire would be not too sure of a statement.
There's WWE 2K18 as well, which the map would like to move swiftly onto, but...
Well, to be fair, I can't pass comment there, because I've never played it, so... But, yeah, it didn't sound good, for sure.
Yeah, so anything else you want to say about Guardians of the Galaxy?
I want it. Want to buy me a copy? Apart from that, it's gonna be a game which we're all gonna enjoy, I'm sure.
Cool. Okay, so my number 6, again, probably might, because of my probably perception of being a bit of a Nintendo fanboy, some people might think this would be higher. But for me, number 6 is Metroid Dread. Purely because in regards to Metroid games, I've played a lot more of the Prime series than I have the traditional 2D Metroids. I have played the 2D Metroids. I have enjoyed them. I've not really got stuck into them and got all the way through them. Whereas Prime, kind of like the story and the first person stuff did kind of draw me in a bit more. So yeah, Metroid Dread does look really good. I know it's been a long development. Like, it first got mentioned back in 2004. And obviously, I think it got halted, and then it's got picked up and restarted by Mercury Steam, who did a fantastic job on the Samus Returns game a few years back. It was about 2017 time, I think, where they did that. That was a 3DS game. Metroid Dread, sorry, does look really great. Looks really fluid, looks like a good concept. They're also trying to amp up the fear and the tension stuff as well, which is going to be good to see. And hopefully it will be a well-received Metroid game, because everyone's looking forward to it. Like, it's topped pre-order lists in various companies. A lot of people are expecting it to potentially become the best-selling Metroid title. Because no Metroid game's ever sold more than 2 million copies, which is a bit of a surprising fact. I'm hoping it does well. It looks great, it looks really smart. And yeah, it's good to have Samus around back. And looking forward to seeing how it does. And like I say, the only reason it's not made my top 5 is purely because the Metroid games haven't always grabbed me as kind of must buys a lot of the time. So yeah, that's my number six.
As someone who's never played a Metroid game properly, I saw this and it looked beautiful. Not sure how finished what we saw, but it looked beautiful, and I'm looking forward to giving it a try.
Yes. Obviously, that's October 8th it comes out, alongside the Switch OLED model, which is a clever marketing ploy by Nintendo, I think. Get a brand new game with your shiny new Switch model.
Good marketing.
The thing is, it could really help Metroid if it comes out alongside. So, so yeah, people are looking for a game to play, and they got a brand new game out that day. They might find people pick it up, which is good.
Well, certainly a good bit of marketing for them, for sure.
Anyway, on to number five for you, Matt.
Number five. Now, I've got to say that the fifth top five at this point, they could be in any order.
Fair enough.
Okay. But my number five is technically two games.
Oh, fair enough. I think I know what you might be talking. Might be coming up.
It's something which is brilliant and something which is shining at the same time. Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Basically, the Switch revitalizations and remasterings of two amazing DS games, which brought together two of the best legendaries in Pokemon history in Dialga and Palkia. Palkia is my boy from Pearl. He, absolutely amazing. It's Pokemon Pearl and Pokemon Diamond. What more can I say? It's one of the best collections in the series. I don't need to elaborate on this. It's Pokemon Pearl and Pokemon Diamond. Bang.
Fair enough.
Move on.
So you ready for my number five then, yeah?
Same one, I'm guessing.
I don't know, actually not.
Okay.
My number five is a game that I think a lot of people were expecting, and people might not expect to be quite so high on my list, but it is WarioWare Get It Together.
It's a me, Wario!
Yep, so it's out 10th of September, got announced at E3 this year.
Brilliant idea.
WarioWare is a series I loved for a long time. Like, it's so inventive, always makes the most out of the hardware it's on, particularly the Wii one, where you had like various different things you did with the Wii remote. And like the multiplayer on the Wii one is great. I had a hot potato. I think we had to switch around who was playing and stuff like that. It was great seeing the series come back. A lot of people weren't expecting it. Like, there had been a couple of rumblings it could come back at some point, but yeah, the fact that they've brought it back, it's not really gimmicky. It's very kind of traditional WarioWare. The demo is great from what I've played of it. I have got a gameplay video I'm going to upload soon with it, which is really cool. Definitely for me, it's a game to definitely check out. It's not going to be a full price game either. It's going to be it's not going to be a full price title. It's going to be like £10 less, I think, than most games. So yeah, I'm very excited to see how the game does, and also get stuck back into the craziness, which is WarioWare. I'll say the mini games are crazy. The fact that there's multiplayer, we can do co-op on the mini games, it just adds an extra element to it. WarioWare Get It Together makes my top five.
It's a good shout. I've not played a lot of WarioWare. I played a bit of it on the Wii. My sister had a copy. I'll give it a go, for sure. WarioWare, I mean, minigames are always fun. I mean, who doesn't like a minigame? If you don't like a minigame, you're not alive inside.
Well, they're technically microgames in WarioWare.
Exactly.
So, they usually last seconds, but that's so fun. Mm. And in fact, you don't know what's coming next as well, which is great.
I'm actually going to, on the fly, change my list, actually, as well. I've been toying with it. That's what I'm saying. It's in flux. It's in flux right up to the moment of us recording. Number four is Halo Infinite.
Ooh, number four for you.
Yes, it was going to be higher. But there are other games which, I mean, I'm really hoping it's going to be as good as they promised it was going to be. It should have been out a year ago nearly now. It's a game, as you mentioned earlier, with no co-op campaign, it means that me and Alex won't be playing it together probably until at least the spring. Which put a damper on things, because me and Alex want to play it together. We can't play it till next April. But we can play the main story mode ourselves, obviously, it's not a problem. But half the fun we had when we were playing for a Halo playthrough was looking at the differences between the first version and the current version and things like that. It's what made it so important to us. And we could have got through half an hour in half the time, maybe even three times faster than we did. We didn't, because we were just enjoying ourselves. Now, I would have put it higher, but the news that the co-op isn't coming till later, I didn't actually know that until you mentioned it, Chris.
Oh, fair enough.
You're the reason that this is bumped now down to fourth. Entirely your fault.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's okay. So what's your next pick?
My number four, game that's due out right at the beginning of September, actually. Sonic Colors Ultimate.
I knew that it would be on your list.
Yeah.
How Sonic Colors has not... Is this far down on your list? It's beyond me. Seeing as you are... Literally, you have blue blood. It seems like sometimes.
To be fair, it's been a while since I've had a Sonic game. Like, it is a port and like HD remaster. But Sonic Colors was a good one. Obviously, it came out on Wii. It's part of the Sega and Nintendo agreement, so it was Wii exclusive. But it's coming back and being on various different consoles this time. So I'm actually picking up on the Xbox this time around. Again, it's not going to be a full price release, so always helps out. But it looks really good. Looks like they've done a lot of work on it. Improved visuals, improved frame rate, additions to the gameplay. So yeah, very excited to get started back into Sonic Colors and see the changes they've made. So yeah, for me, it's made my top four because I did enjoy the game, I played the game, and yeah, I just want to get start back into it, really. So
is it a game which got a lot of slating? Because I know a lot of some of the Sonic games on the Wii did not go down well. I mean, the one where Sonic went and became a treasure hunter, basically.
Now, to be fair, I think Sonic Colors was one of the best reviewed 3D Sonic games. It's got that good mix of 3D and 2D platforming. I think it worked really well. It's kind of when they had the controls right. It's got that Sonic Generation Zero where you had like the controls were a bit tighter than they were for stuff like Sonic Forces and things like that. So, so for me, like the gameplay was just right. The risks I could take or leave, which are kind of the power-ups.
Yeah.
Yes, they're the one thing that I was a bit lukewarm on about the game, but I did really enjoy the game, and yeah, really looking forward to getting stuck into it. The only issue is I'm not sure if... I know the game's due out on the 7th of September, but because I've ordered a physical version, it might be a bit later, because I know there has been reports, and Sega has done a statement saying that European copies may be delayed due to... transport issue, or kind of obviously issues with HDV drivers, which is kind of affecting the whole Europe pretty much right now. So yeah, it's around 7th of September, but might be after that you get it. But we're very much looking forward to getting stuck into it.
Awesome.
You got number three, or double three time.
What's up, three? A lot of big games still to go for. I'd ask you to guess what my number three is, Chris, but that would be somewhat unfair. It's Dying Light 2. Stay Fair Human. This is the highly anticipated, multiple time pushed back sequel to Dying Light, which in itself was the follow up game to Dead Island. Dead Island producers Techland were then kicked out by people who owned the Dead Island name and gave it someone else who ruined it. And then they were made Dying Light. which was amazing. Parkour style, first person zombie killer. Why would you not want that? it's a brilliant game. DLC for that was equally incredible. Finally, we're getting a chance to play some more Dying Light. Brand new city, brand new protagonist, more crazy, insane weapons to make. Come on! I mean, I know the zombie thing is done to death sort of thing, but Dying Light took it and revolutionised it. Because, I mean, because they added parkour to it.
Yeah.
It sounds so simple, just adding one thing to make it different, but they've succeeded. Benway and Techland are not a huge studio compared to, you know, some of the ones you get from Microsoft and Sony have got, for example. Or even Nintendo, for that matter. They're quite a smallish company. They're big, but not, they're smaller. And yet they managed to turn out amazing stuff like Dying Light. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Dying Light 2 is going to be all about. Storyline is probably going to be similar in terms of... if you play the first game, if you haven't played that first at this point, guys, you really should. Basically, dropped into a zombie-infested city, and you have to retrieve something. But as soon as you land, you get bitten by a zombie, so you have to care for yourself as well. Yay. And the DLC for it is equally good. The ironic thing about this is the person who played Carl Crane in the first game... the same person who did the voice for Chris Redfield in Resident Evil series. So, the whole time you thought it was Chris Redfield talking, and actually, a lot of people's headcanon, it was just the same thing, as Carl Crane was an alias, which was kind of funny in a way. But at the same time, I'm just looking forward to seeing what this one's going to be. The official release date for this is December 7th. It's quite a late release. But of course, it's a day before... another big game.
Yeah, it could be overshadowed by Halo. It's just whether it stays there or whether they end up moving it. It's not lost in the shuffle.
Dying Light come out there for it, I think it will hold its ground. People will be in both camps. As I said, the fact that Halo haven't got everything coming out on the day it's released, as it were, and Dying Light 2, if it's like the first game, it'll have the co-op stuff from the start. So... for people who want to be playing that, we're playing that. Halo Infinite, it'll be on the Game Pass, so people may come to that later.
My concern is not necessarily a monetary issue, but more time issue.
Like I say, people may come to it later.
Arguably, you think Halo is a more anticipated game than Dying Light.
But
so people might be more willing to jump into Halo.
But people will be wanting to play the co-op campaign... on Halo.
And you get a lot of people just do Halo for the multiplayer, though.
Well, seeing as that's free to play anyway, they'll just play whatever, won't they? But
yeah, so it's whether they opt to do the Halo multiplayer than Dying Light 2, that's the thing.
Parkour. people parkour. Okay? But it's basically Floor is Lava video game. Bang.
You got grappling hook in Halo now.
You've got grappling hook in that as well, what's your problem?
Yeah. My concern about Dying Light 2 is Dying Light is a great series, looks really great, but I think in its current release date it might get overshadowed. It might not get the audience it probably deserves.
Mm.
So it's whether it stays there, whether they potentially look at moving it around, or whether they fancy their odds up against Halo.
Well, we'll find out one out, won't we?
Yes.
What's your pick for number three, Chris?
My number three... is one that you have already mentioned.
Okay.
It's Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Pokemon Shining Pearl.
Okay.
Yes, that makes number three for me. Because purely going up, I kind of dabbled in Pokemon. I didn't get fully stuck into it. Like, I did have Pokemon Diamond on the DS. But I didn't play too much of it. To be honest, I didn't play anywhere near as much as I should have done of it. So I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into it. Because Sword and Shield completely sucked me in. I'm really intrigued to see how Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl are, because they are, despite being 15 years old, they are among the most revered Pokemon games in the series. Like, everyone went crazy when it was announced they're coming back as remakes. Okay, the art style is a bit G being a bit kind of a bit different to what we saw in Sword and Shield. I think it does look great. They're making lots of changes. Obviously, you've got changes you can now choose your outfits and your styles. There's like various little changes they're making. Obviously, you've got the contests and you can decorate your Pokeballs, stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of little features and little touches they're making. And obviously, it is set in the region that the upcoming kind of prequel to this game, Legends Arceus, is set. So yeah, I'm going to get stuck in. And yeah, the music sounds pretty cool. The world looks pretty decent. And there's also some great Pokemon to catch. So yeah, number three on my list is Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, which obviously hits 19th of November. So it's top two time for Matt. What's your number two?
My number two is the third game in the series of this, The Dark Pictures Anthology, House of Ashes. Coming to PS5, Xbox SNS, PS4, Xbox One and PC on October 21st. Just in time for Halloween, kids. This is the horror. This is a horror franchise. The first one was set on a ghost ship. The second one is set in a ghost town. Third one sounds like a ghost house, yeah. To be fair. This is brilliant because it's a choices which affect what you make throughout the game. So for example, if you like argue with someone, it can affect relationships in it, and that can affect whether or not they trust you and whether or not people survive the game, which I think is really cool. The other really cool thing is that in each of the games, the characters are in each game. For example, the characters in the first game are in the second game, but playing completely different characters. It's like the characters are actors playing different roles. It's brilliant. It also helps keep the casting cost down, obviously. But it's brilliant. And it's even got multiplayer. Because you can play a single player, but you can also hand it off to someone on the couch next year. Now, I know you're about to say, well, how did that work, especially during COVID times? The last one, which was A New Hope. Was it New Hope? No, just New Hope. You could actually do it via the internet to somewhere else. Cool. Problem is you need someone else to have the game, but that's here and there. Man of Medan is the first game in the series, and that one is on the Game Pass. So if you want to dive into the series before this one comes out, have a little test with that one. It's good for sure. I'm not entirely sure where this one's going to go, because the first two games has had some very good... It's tested a lot of nerves, should we say. For example, no spoilers for that first game, but at the end it triggered my major phobia. So there is bits in the games which can shock you if you're not expecting it, and even if you're expecting it, it can still get you, because the best way to play these games is with the lights off and the windows closed, and the doors, and everything closed, huddled under a blanket, playing old school, as it were. this is a modern-day Resident Evil experience for me. And again, when it comes out, it's usually about £25. It's not massively expensive, and the replay value is fantastic, because you can make different choices, and the story ending is different. The whole way through it, you've got the librarian, who is a mysterious chap, let's put it that way, who will analyse your choices. Doesn't help you, but he analyses your choices and tells you if you've been an idiot or not, basically.
Fair enough.
So I'm hoping he returns in this one, because he's arguably the star of the show, even if he's not even in the story. What's your number two, Chris?
My number two is an Xbox exclusive.
Okay.
And it is Forza Horizon 5. I'm quite surprised how much higher is on the list, but looking back at what I've been playing this last year, I have been playing quite a bit of Forza Horizon 4. And the Forza Horizon series is one of my favourite racing series, to be fair. Obviously, I absolutely loved 2. I found 3 all right. 4 I really liked as well. So, Forza Horizon 5 is looks like going bigger, better. Saying it in Mexico as well, so very diverse landscapes. To go from jungles to deserts to cities and dust storms, all that kind of stuff. The soundtrack's always pretty good with the Forza Horizon games. So yeah, I was really excited to get stuck into it. Obviously, it's going to be on Game Pass, so day one for me, going to download it. 5th of November, so a bit later than normal for a Forza Horizon game, but very much looking forward to getting stuck in. Yeah, like I say, it just looks fantastic. They showed off 8 minutes of gameplay at Gamescom earlier this week, so...
It looked amazing. It looked phenomenal.
They showed off lots of different landscapes and that, and the different kinds of vehicles involved, so... So, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting stuck into World of Forza Horizon again in November.
And I can link straight to that, because I'm number 2.
Oh, number 1.
Huh? I'm pretty sure it's number 2 now, Chris.
Well, I've just done my number 2. Yeah, exactly. So that's missed you out somewhere.
I think you might have jumped one.
No, I've been working my way down my list.
Yes, I've done there.
Have you inadvertently promoted Forza Motorsport 5 as your number 1 game?
No. I'm going to bump it off list completely now because my number one game.
Oh, man.
Because my number one game is my number one game.
For listeners, this is why I listed my games 10 to 1, whereas Matt has had a list of games.
I've got numbers next to it because I've moved Halo around. It's upset my list, so my own fault.
So what game have you added in to your top 5 then?
Huh?
What game did you add into your top 4, which wasn't there originally?
What I've done is I've written my number 3 down besides 2 games. That's on me. That's on me.
This is staying in, right?
It's absolutely staying in.
Yeah. So if Matt hadn't made a mistake, his number 2 game would have been Forza Horizon 5. Now, that because is true. Because he's made a mistake, he's not made his top 10 completely.
I'm looking forward to playing that for sure. But my number 1 pick, and it's a game that you haven't played series wise at all. This game releases on September the 10th. So we are literally just 2 weeks away from it releasing. Life is Strange, True Colours.
Do you like your Life is Strange
this
games?
This is officially the 5th instalment in the franchise. After Life is Strange, Life is Strange Before the Storm, Life is Strange 2, Life is Strange, The Adventures of Captain Spirit. Of course, it's now number 5. Even though it's number 3, technically. But, you know, we skate past those little bits. And some people say, well, how does it even link to the series? We know from what we've seen in the trailers that one of the romance options appeared in Before the Storm. So it ties that all together in the first place. However, we also, as in us fans, have seen what's happened with the Switch, for example. We've got this massive, amazing collection coming to the Switch. A little bit after what's coming for other consoles.
The remaster collection is coming to the other consoles as well, to be fair.
It's kind of becoming before it comes to the Switch. Which is understandable, because they've got to do a bit more reworking for the Switch, which is unfortunate. But when they promoted this, they had Max and Chloe from the first game, and the new character, Alex, sit down between them. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, no! Fantastic! Max and Chloe might turn up in this game at some point. That'd be kind of cool. And unlike the second, Love Life Strange 2, where you played as a character observing someone with powers, this time you actually have the powers again. Because I think a lot of people were a little bit... I mean, the story was great, Life Strange 2. But the whole point is you're supposed to have the powers. The first game, you could rewind time. And it was brilliant playing as Max Caulfield. I mean, and the music. Oh, the music. Oh, God. This put Don't Nod on the map, for sure. I mean, this is where we knew straight away. You see Don't Nod now, you're like, well, these are the guys behind Life is Strange. Unbelievable. I mean, the art style is phenomenal. Put that with the indie music, and it's just brilliant. I'm waxing lyrical at this point. I can carry on talking. Interrupt me, Chris, please.
That was fun watching you, really. You got to, like an almost out-of-body experience you have.
Well, speaking of, it is an
out-of-body. You're kind of floating in the air almost when you're going on about that. So I know you do like the Life is Strange games, and it's very much decision-based, and
it is. I have
can have quite bad ramifications, if I remember correctly.
It can have a lot of ramifications for sure. So much so that there is actually, when you first load up Life is Strange 2, it actually asks you what you made for the final decision in Life is Strange 1. I had war flashbacks. because, and this is no word of a lie, when I first played that through, I was like, these are all decisions, some of them were tough choices. The last decision in the first game, and I'm not going to say what that decision is for people who haven't played it, and are going to be playing the Remastered Collection when it all comes together on Switch or Xbox or whatever. I spent 5 minutes making that decision. Literally, a decision literally was bang, bang. Two buttons to choose between. And because you've bonded with these characters, the decision, it hits you here, right here in the middle of the chest. That's how gaming should be. A game should hit you there. A film should hit you like that. A TV show should hit that. How upset are you when you see a big character die in a TV show? For example, yeah?
Well, it depends how attached you are to them. But,
exactly. Yeah. This game invests you in it. The whole series invests you in it. This game had the potential to do the same. I'm looking forward to it. Put it this way, Alex wanted a game to play because he was bored of the games he had. I recommended him Life is Strange. He's the biggest Life is Strange stan now.
Fair enough.
No further questions, your witness.
Yep, so from a very deep emotional number one to my number one, which, no apologies, is a complete nostalgia fest. It is Supermarket Mall Banana Mania. This is going to be a very controversial number one, I think. Especially some of the big hitters that I have made it lower down. But Supermarket Mall is a series I've loved. I've been there since day one. I got it on my GameCube on launch day. There's obviously 20th anniversary of the series this year. And they're going all out with it, really. Banana Mania is a collection of Supermarket Mall 1, 2 and Deluxe, which are among pretty much my favourite games of the series. For me, they're iconic. They've got iconic levels, iconic music. They've got 12 of the mini-games from across the series coming back, so Monkey Target, Monkey Fight, all stuff like that. And for me, it's just pure nostalgia. It's a game that I love, and to see it being remade, brought up to like modern day visuals and HD. Looks fantastic. And they have been adding a ton of guest characters as well.
Yes, today recording that a character had been added, which, well, let's face it, how could you not be right about this one?
Yeah, but it's just like they have gone iconic with like Sonic and Tails being added in. But they've gone very much into Sega's history and done a lot of cult classic hero characters as well. So you've got Beat from Jet Set Radio, which is a series I love. It's the one character I've actually attempted to cosplay as.
Don't.
Yes, I had like a Jet Set
Radio. I say that's someone who cosplayed as a Dragonborn Paladin. Yeah.
I didn't have the rollerblades, don't worry, but I had like the trousers, the top, the headphones, the sunglasses.
There you are.
Yeah, so I did go like... Yeah, I just absolutely love be it as a character. They've added a character from Yakuza. And obviously Morgana from Persona 5 got announced at Gamescom. No, this is DLC. It's all included in the game. You can unlock them through the game, which is great.
It should be.
Yeah.
Old school.
But a lot of companies would just charge you extra for that, for privilege using that character.
Old school. I'm liking this. Yeah. This is all singing music to me.
But again, it's not a full price game. I think it's going to be £40, I think.
It used to be a full price game.
Yeah, it used to be a full price, but now you're looking 50, 60 quid for full price games.
Yes.
It's a game that I am absolutely can't wait to play. It is out on the 8th, it's on the 5th of October, sorry. So just for Metroid Dread, and my money that week is going on Banana Mania. Like I say, it's a game that I just love. If you've not played a Monkey Ball game before, they're a lot of fun, very challenging. Premise is you're a monkey in a ball and you actually tilt the level rather than controlling the character. So you have to get the monkey to the goal without falling off the level. Sounds simple in premise, but some of the puzzles and some of the levels they make and having to work out how to get there within the time limit is brilliant fun. And yeah, for me, it's just a game I can't wait to get stuck into again. Obviously, I had Banana Blitz HD a couple last year sometime, I think, which I enjoyed. But the fact they're bringing back some of the original stuff, sign me up. Can't wait for my copy to come through the post.
Well, before we move on from that, let's speculate a little bit. Any more characters you'd like to see them put into that game for free? Doking from Virtua Tennis, for example?
I think maybe
being sarcastic a little bit, I know.
For me, maybe Ryu from Shenmue, but obviously I don't think they got the rights to Shenmue anymore because I think they sold about to... I don't know if Yu Suzuki's got the rights for Shenmue now or not, but I know obviously he made Shenmue 3 separate from Sega, so...
Mm.
If they could use Ryu Suzuki, maybe have him.
See, I know that it's not Ichiban Kasuga, but... because I've got a lot of love for him from Jack Like a Dragon. But as you say, Kazuya Kiji is not a bad one having.
Yeah. Also, I'd like to see Knights as well, actually. That's a cult classic from saying I'd like to see Knights making an appearance in Rather Balls. But I don't know whether they will announce any more, or whether they'll leave some of the surprises.
I think that would be a good idea.
Or even if there would be any more. But yeah, just like... Yeah, it's really excited to get back in. I know I did mention on Super Mario or Mario Party Superstars that it seems to be a lot of nostalgia. This is me being kind of slightly hypocritical.
This is you being fanboy as well.
But yeah, it's just like it is a massive nostalgia blast for me, and just want to get sucked back into it. Really,
they might put Rice Star in. You never know. Yes, that would be being sarcastic.
Yeah, there's more chance of Knights than a restart, I think. But
possible though.
Yeah, possible. Yeah, that kind of rounds up our top tens, or possibly top 11 if you want to allow Matt to have Forza Horizon 5 in there.
Shut up! I'll be playing it for sure.
Yeah, nice one to try and sneak an extra game in the list there. Because original number 10 would have been bumped off the list then.
I could bump my number off the list. Let's not forget. I didn't actually name as well. So, yeah.
Matt was very much hanging for honourable mentions for this one.
Yeah, that's probably where that one came from. So, yeah, I apologise about that.
Yeah, so that's our top 10s each and Forza Horizon 5 for Matt. Yes, let's round up. So, Matt, what have you been playing for the last couple of weeks?
Well, I've been playing a lot of D&D. But aside from that, Yakuza Like a Dragon. Been playing Hitman, obviously. I've been playing Dark Souls from the beginning. You can actually see me doing that up on the Game Junkies Plays YouTube channel at the moment. I've got to say that it's a rite of passage to die in that game. I thought, how can I actually get through this game without dying?
I don't think anyone can, to be fair.
Some people claim they can. If you can do that, you're lying bastards. That game is the hardest game I have ever played, but my God, it's addictive. You're like, well, one more go. One more go. But the thing is, every time that you rest at a bonfire, all the enemies respawn. So you got to keep hacking. It's like, no. Anyway, what else have I been playing?
A lot of F1 been going on.
Is F1 2021 is in play. I'm in the third season of Career Mode. The Breaking Point story mode is phenomenal. There's only one issue. Is I want more of it. So EA, you know you own Codemasters. Pump more money into that department. We as F1 fans want more Breaking Point.
Probably more of a time issue rather than money issue.
We want more Breaking Point. It was brilliant. We just want more of it. It was just too short. It could have been longer for sure. What else have I been playing? I've been playing Football Manager 2021 as well. It's incredibly addictive because you can just dip in and out when you want to, and that's a good thing. Is there anything else? Pretty much, yeah. I've been doing a bit more Animal Crossing recently, mainly making sure that people get their turnips on time. I've been like a delivery man this week. Yeah.
Fair enough.
What about you?
Yeah, for me, I've been playing Animal Crossing, checking in most days on my island. Been playing Pokemon Unite, much to someone's despair. So I've actually been enjoying Pokemon Unite. I know a lot of people say you can't spend lots of money. I've not spent a penny on it. I've still been really enjoying it. For me, it's perfectly serviceable. You can play it for free and still have like a decent win to loss ratio. So it's not doesn't seem to be too pay to win for me. I've done some more, a bit more Forza Horizon 4, a little bit of Persona 5 Strikers, and Game Builder Garage I've been dipping in and out of again. A few little games we've been dipping into. Obviously, the WarioWare Get Together demo. Just need to finish sort out my gameplay video for that and get that uploaded. I am looking forward to seeing you guys, seeing me getting stuck into WarioWare. That's about it for me at the moment, what I've been playing. So Matt, where can the people find you and your colleagues on Game Junkies?
You can find me directly at Matt.UK. You can find Alex and Kerry and myself over on Game Junkies next Saturday. And you find at Game Junkies Pod. And don't forget to follow our Dungeon Junkies Twitter, at Dungeon Junkies, if you want to keep up with all of our latest D&D. We've got another one-shot from your good self, actually, coming very, very soon, once I've got around to editing it.
Yes, we actually recorded that on Tuesday, a couple of days ago at the time of recording. So, yeah, so excited to see, or let you guys hear what we got up to in the one-shot. So make sure you don't forget to check out the Game Junkies next weekend. Any ideas what your show is going to be yet?
We've got a few things in the pipeline. We're just trying to make sure that we get everything in the can ready for when we head to EGX. Because you never know if we're going to do extra photo stuff, of course. Terry's become all these new topics recently. So listen out to Vision Global Media on Viewpoint Shop Road next week to actually find out what we're dropping.
Once you made your mind up.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. As always, you can find me on Twitter at ChrisLewis37. Don't forget to check out my Twitter. I do show my YouTube videos there. So if you want to see my gameplay videos and my reactions to that directs and presentations, don't forget to sign up and find me on Twitter and then subscribe to my YouTube channel. Every subscription is very much appreciated. I do really want to try and grow the channel a bit more. So every little helps. And yeah, until next time, guys, thank you for tuning in. And speak to you soon. Bye.
podcast is a Mad Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.